it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
There we go. A little ABBA action. Get us ready for tonight. ABBA will not be part of the goal song discussion, which is frustrating.
Awful. Abhorrent.
Mentally frustrating. Yes. But you know what that music means. To the Western Hotline, Paul Hamilton joins the show as the Sabres officially get their season underway at home tonight against the New York Rangers. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Are you excited for the grind to get going? I know you've been, you know, obviously back in the beat for a while here with the season starting, but, you know, for many people, it gets going tonight.
Yeah, I was excited in July for the grind to get going, but unfortunately, it wound up being the Bills grind for a while instead of the Sabres grind for me.
for most people, that's beach weather. Paul's like, this is hockey weather. I know it's 90, but it's hockey weather. Good for you.
Well, we were in the 30s last night, so.
You know. Well, that's true. October's finally arrived. It took a little bit, but here we are. I'm in a hoodie and jeans, and I had frost on my car this morning. That was an awakening moment.
Grow up.
I know. Paul, though, Sabres back at it tonight. They got some good injury news yesterday. Owen Power and Matias Samuelsson look to be back in the lineup tonight. It's not their entire blue line back, but it is a good sign to get the season started.
Yeah, and as Lindy Ruff said, hey, I'm not giving the Rangers my lineup, but you guys were here yesterday. Mm-hmm. So that basically means, yeah, Owen Power's okay. He's going to be playing. You know, so just trying to turn my computer off here. You know me and technology is – there we go.
Hey, we did it.
And it was our website that was doing it to me.
There you go.
Surprises nobody. Paul, all about the grind, but with the Sabres coming back into this one, Alex Lyon going to get the start, UPL obviously on injured reserve. And the Sabres did make a move, though. They claimed Colton Ellis to kind of help ease some concerns. Georgiev was not good in preseason. It showed, and the Sabres kind of reacted accordingly.
Yeah, but if I'm Devin Levi, I'm going, excuse me?
Right.
Because really, if you take a look at those two goaltenders and their numbers in the American Hockey League last year, they were almost identical. Levi's goals against was a little lower, and Ellis's save percentage was higher. But overall, they were basically the same goaltender in the American Hockey League last year. The Blues were a little surprised, thinking, well, if the Sabres wanted a goaltender, they probably want somebody with experience, and Ellis has never played in an NHL game, but he's gone through the development process. So that's over with. You know, he spent 3 years in the East Coast League, 2 years in the American Hockey League, put up very good numbers in the AHL, and now it's 25 years old, and it's like, all right, it's your time now. Either you take advantage of it or you don't. And apparently what Lindy Ruff was saying yesterday, that he's been on their radar for a bit, and there was an opportunity that they just felt they couldn't pass up on, you know, when he became available to them. So they made the move, and you're right, Georgiev just, and I'm not surprised by that. I'm more surprised they actually signed him than I am that it didn't work out, because in his first preseason game, he made 11 saves on 11 shots. He was solid, you know. He didn't make any fantastic saves because he didn't have to. They played pretty well in front of him, but he made the saves that he had to make. And after that, it just blew up on him. I mean, his goals against, his save percentage were horrendous, and he played more than any other goaltender for the Sabres. And, you know, look at the overtime goal the other night. Yeah, that was three bad plays by three of their better players. I get that. But by the time Pittsburgh got into the zone, Georgiev was like in the slot. He wasn't anywhere near his net. He had come way out. So, I mean, he had no chance whatsoever. I don't know what he was thinking at all, you know, being out where he was. But by the time the puck came across to Crosby, I mean, there was just nothing but net to shoot at, and the goaltender wasn't even within 5 feet of him.
Yeah, it was one of those tough scene kind of looks there too. But Lyon in net, though, And I would imagine that when UPL is healthy, they will be splitting time here. But it does seem like that there's a lot of hope that goaltending improvement is going to be the biggest way to help get them some more points in the standings. And it starts with Lyon tonight.
Yeah, and this is the first time he's really gotten an opportunity like this. Yeah, he took over the Florida net that first year they were in the Stanley Cup Finals. And as a matter of fact, ruined the Sabres playoff hopes with a 2-1 victory.
Oh, thanks for reminding us of that, Paul.
In Florida, made 40 saves in that game. Had that been a 2-1 Buffalo win, Buffalo would have made the playoffs and Florida would not have. But he wasn't really their starting goaltender. He just wound up in the net because of injury and played the best he had ever played in the National Hockey League. But on the other side of that coin, here is a great opportunity. You want to be a starting goalie? Here it is. You may be in the net for a week. You may be in the net for 2 weeks. You may be in the net for a month. But if he plays lights out and shows that he is very capable of being a good number one goalie, Lukanen's not getting the net. They're not. That's that. Sorry. Wait your turn. Is what's going to amount? That's going to amount to. Because if Lyon's doing the job and winning games, you're not taking him out. And that means, so this is his opportunity to grab a starting job. And if he does it, tough luck to whoever's on injured or whatever. That's pro sports.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Sabres taking on the New York Rangers tonight at KeyBank Center. No Michael Kesselring in this one. He's on injured reserve. It doesn't seem like he's going to be back for this one, but Josh Doan, the other piece in that J.J. Paterka trade, will be in the lineup. Connor Timmins, another newcomer into this lineup. What do you think might be the impact there of Josh Doan? Because he seems to have a nice little mix of that energy, tenacity, and a little bit of talent to sprinkle on top of that.
Well, that's why they wanted him. And both sides have said this. Both Utah's GM and Buffalo's GM have said Doan was a huge piece of that. And Utah's GM, when he was at the press conference talking about Paterka, said, we had to make a decision. Do we really want Paterka? Do we really want him that bad? Because Adams made it very clear, if Doan isn't part of the trade, there is no trade. And he never wavered from that. And it's just like, call me when that he wasn't doing anything else with them. It was going to be Kesselring. He wanted Kesselring and he wanted Doan, and he wasn't going to come off it. So Utah's GM said, look, we decided that J.J. Paterka was a piece that we really, really needed on our team and really wanted. And finally we said, do we want to trade Doan? No, we don't, but we have to and we're going to, and they did. So he was a piece, and a piece that many around the NHL, if you talk to folks, think has a good upside to them. And I know I've referenced this before, but I'll bring it up again. Talking to Ray Ferraro, or I wasn't actually talking to him. I was listening to his podcast talking about Doan. And he talked about how you could see in the beginning of the year, last year was his rookie year, that he just wasn't quite up to it. You know, he was feeling his way through. And he said all of a sudden it was like a light went off. And he was playing really, really well and then really improving by leaps and bounds by the second half of the year. He's got a very good shot. Many feel there's a good offensive upside here. Why? Because he's around the net and he's competing around the net. And one thing I think Buffalo fans are going to like is he likes to be in the middle of everything. You know, maybe not as goofy as Marchand is, but still, you know, if something's going on, he'll be there and he'll be in the middle of it. And, he's the type of player that other teams aren't going to like playing against, which is the Sabres haven't had a lot of that the past 14 years. So, we'll see where it goes offensively. I mean, he got a lot of power play time in the preseason, and quite honestly, I didn't think he embarrassed himself at all. We'll see where it goes with him. And he did score, I'm going by memory, it was something like 27, 28 goals in the American Hockey League, and it wasn't in a full season. So he has scored goals in the AHL. Whether that translates here to the NHL, we're going to find out.
Paul Hamilton here on the Western Hotline. Paul, speaking about offense, a player that I'm curious to watch this season is because mainly we really didn't get to see much of him last year, even though he was part of a trade earlier in the season, Josh Norris. Just looking at the score sheet, he looked to have performed very, very well in the preseason. I think, what was it, 6 points? And he's a player, though, that all the physical talent seems to be there. All the hockey talent seems to be there. But he's only played 60-plus games once in his career. That year was great in 21-22. He had 35 goals and 55 points. But outside of that, the injury issues have plagued him. He's been around 50 games per year for most of his career.
Yeah, 35 goals in 60 games. It gives you an idea. This is a guy that is going to score 30 to 35 if he stays healthy. I don't think there's any question about it. So, you know, a lot has been made of, well, who's going to make up Paterka's goals? Well, if Norris stays healthy, he'll do it himself. And then what about Kulik? You know, I really like what they're doing with Kulik. I mean, as their number two center, he's centering Tuck and Zucker. I mean, some veteran players, and I think that's a really solid unit, you know, to roll out there after the Norris line. And as Lindy Ruff said, he's hoping that Tuck and Kulik build the same kind of chemistry that Norris and Thompson have already built. And then you got two solid lines. I mean, a good top six, you know, that I think you can go to war with and get some goals. So when you're talking about where the goal is going to come from, you know, Kulik last year scored 14. I think he can do better. There's some things that he can at least double that. You know, and then if you get 35 out of Norris, well, if you want to throw Cousins in there, that makes up for Cousins and that makes up for Paterka, you know, from a goal scoring standpoint. But the talent that Norris has and what he can do, and he's very good in the defensive zone too, and just winning faceoffs on the power play, on special teams in general, I mean, is going to be big, because part of the reason the Sabres struggle on the power play is they never have the puck. You lose a faceoff, the other team gets it, down it goes. Well, it's going to be 30 seconds minimum until you're back. And that's if you get in the zone. And that was a big if for that team last year. So, all right, it stopped at the blue line. Puck goes back down again. Just because you lost the faceoff, you might have blown a minute and 20 seconds of your power play. So you win the faceoff, you're set up. And now you're going. So that, I think, is going to be key to try to help improve a power play. You also have two good shots in the circles now with Norris, who's not afraid to shoot it. Paterka, for some reason, didn't want to shoot it from that circle. I don't know why, because he has a great shot, but he rarely scored in the power play. But Norris will let it go. And talking to Tage Thompson yesterday, and that's an interview you'll hear in the pregame today, he talked about how Norris, yeah, people talk about him as a shooter, but he said he doesn't get enough credit as a playmaker. You know, he said he's a really deceptive playmaker also, that maybe he doesn't get enough credit for that. So that'll be interesting to watch as we go along too.
Paul, when you mention players that can be some playmakers for this team, a little bit of...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Facilitators as well. I look at Zach Benson, a guy that if you like the charts, for example, I know I'm speaking to the wrong person on that one, but even the eyeballs, you could see that Benson likes to set things up. He is trying to see plays a couple of plays ahead, and he is a player that they didn't convert on a lot of the chances that he would set up for last year. But Benson playing with Norris and Thompson does also seem like a potential boon for the first round pick from a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and just, you know, there's a very, in my mind, a time and a place for analytics. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't hate it. I just don't like it that it's you go with analytics and nothing else.
Right.
And I said, it drives me insane in baseball, but that's another conversation. You know,
why? What
I think,
happened? Sorry, Paul, I had to do it.
But I think... You know, Lindy Ruff believes this too. He should have all the information at his fingertips so he can make an intelligent decision. And at the end of the day, think about it. analytics and the eye test usually line up. Not always, but usually line up. And Adams talks about what they do with their analytics department when it doesn't. When the analytics department comes up with something they're not seeing, now they sit down, they have a discussion about it. Why? Why is what we're seeing different from what the numbers say? And then they go over it. So that's I like the usage of analytics that way. So I got off on a tangent. Here, what are we talking about?
We were talking about Benson. My
thank
apologies.
You. Yeah, thank you. No, I'm the idiot that went off on a tangent. Couldn't remember what you said. I got you now. I'm ready. The senility just wore off. But with Benson, he is. When people misunderstood me when I said I think it might be best for him to spend a little bit of time in Rochester, it wasn't because I thought he was a bad player. It wasn't because I didn't think he could compete in the NHL. He's great at shielding pucks and making plays and those types of things. But I think you need more than 28 points out of your top line left winger. So my thought was if he went to Rochester for a little bit, he might be able to regain a little bit of the scoring touch that he had in junior. Just get confidence in it. You know, I still think he's going to eventually put up points in the NHL because he's done it at every level. That's all I felt that if you put him down there for a little bit, get him some confidence offensively where he sees the puck go in the net a few times, and then bring him back up with the rest of the skill set that he has. I just thought that might help him offensively a little bit contribute. But there's no question with the other parts of his game and how valuable they are. I still don't understand how he can protect pucks with his size the way he does. I think a lot of it is leg strength. But he can be on his knees and protect the puck. And still, the other team's not going to get it off of him.
Sheer willpower, Paul. I think that's what it is.
That's probably what it is. I mean, that's probably what it is.
And I lack that because I'm going to have the chicken parm sub today.
The whole 2 feet?
Maybe. It depends on how miserable the game is. I might be like sad eating it. I don't know, Paul, but we're going to find out
today.
There
was a day where I could do that when I weighed a lot, but now that I've lost some weight and I'm not afraid to say it on the air, and I do take a weight loss drug and it's worked very well for me, but it also kind of takes your craving away for something like that. So I know there's zero chance I would be able to even eat half of that right now. And quite honestly, you know, that's what it does to you. It just kind of helps you. And, you know, I'm wearing all new clothes now. All the old clothes are somebody at Goodwill's wearing them now. So if you need any of my clothes, head over to Goodwill, Derek. And I don't think they'll fit you. But if you keep eating that sub,
you'll be
head
there.
On over because you will fit into some of those clothes.
Paul, I'm doing it for journalism, okay? We're finding out things today.
Big J journalism.
Big J, capital J journalism, me versus the sub. I'm not eating that alone. Are you insane? They brought samples of things yesterday, and I was breathing heavy after eating like a quarter of it.
If you gave me like a quarter of it, I'm sure it'd be delicious.
Yes.
I probably could get through a quarter. It is funny. Like,
I'll let you know where I'm sitting, Paul.
If I do buy a sub, it's funny because I spend all day kind of cutting off a slice, and next thing I know, I'm still eating it the next day. Mm-hmm. One sub.
Oh, yeah.
It becomes a nice little long-term investment sort of thing. I do like it. But, yes, for capital J journalism, me and some friends are going to eat this thing today, see how it goes.
Paul, I did have one more question here before we let you go and get ready for tonight. Ryan McLeod is a player that I really liked last year. He also was top five in goal scoring for the Sabres last year, hitting 20 goals. I like the different dimension he brought this team, and I'm curious to see how you think he maybe fits into this new group as well that it got with Norris. And it's not a ton of differences, but just maybe that second year for McLeod with the Sabres.
You know what I'm curious about, and I don't have an answer for it. Is 20 goals his ceiling, or can it even be better?
That's what I was wondering. Is that the high pointers, all of a sudden, they maybe unlock something with more ice time for him?
Can he get it to 25? And I think maybe he can. And, you know, everybody thought, you know, when they made the trade, well, he's only scored 12 or 13, you know, whatever. You know what it is. You make a trade, and people are all like, what are you doing that for? You gave up number one pick, who, by the way, is like 5'8 or 5'9, and they have like 20 of those. So if you get rid of one of them, but the Sabres needed the skill set that McLeod brings to the table. Speed, first of all. There are some that think he's faster than McDavid. I am not one of them, but I think he's second in the league behind McDavid. And the speed, I think, really helped him. He got a little bit of power play time once the Sabres ran into some injuries, and he took advantage of that. But I think it helped him offensively because he can get back defensively very quickly with that speed that he has. And he would, like, come up on defensemen and just blow around them because of the speed, and they couldn't corral him. And it really, I think, produced some offensive opportunities for him. But even if this is it and 20 goals, I think to be a guy who is, you know, right behind your top six, a guy that can play both ends of the ice, can contribute 20 goals, I think that's great. And even if Matt Savoy, and he is with the Edmonton Oilers now, becomes a great player with the Oilers, I always say there's nothing wrong with both teams being happy with their trade. I mean, the Oilers will, of course, be happy if that happens, and I think the Sabres are very happy with what they got in McLeod because it's something they really needed and didn't have on their team. So I know fans, they like to think, well, boy, we really killed them on that trade, and that's fun. I know that's fun, but I don't know. As long as the player you got back is overachieving, and I think I could say that about McLeod, mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter what Savoy does in Edmonton because then you're happy with your end of the trade.
Right, absolutely. All right, Paul. Finally,
Paul, I got one more for you. Ryan Johnson has himself a heck of a preseason training camp. He ends up on the Sabres opening night roster. I was impressed with how he was skating through the preseason here. He has always kind of been this, you know, should be the first guy up defensively call-up sort of thing, if not for the Sabres typically carrying 7-8 defensemen into a season. But Johnson now finally making the roster here for opening night. What do you think is going to happen here with the plan for RJ coming in here? RJ 2.0.
It sounds like he might get the opportunity in Boston. It sounds like Bryson, and I don't think Bryson played poorly in the preseason. It sounds like he's going to get the, and if you looked at practice yesterday, that's what the impression that I got. That Bryson's going to get the first opportunity. But just talking to Lindy Ruff a few minutes ago, he's very impressed with Johnson and basically indicated that maybe Johnson will get the opportunity. You don't want to totally commit to that because if the Sabres beat the Rangers 4-0 and the defense plays really well, then why would you make any changes?
Exactly.
Yeah, so he doesn't want to get backed into a corner with it, but it sounds like Johnson might get the opportunity in Boston to play. Yesterday Ruff talked about it a little bit. It kind of boils down to experience. I mean, Bryson has the NHL experience, and Bryson takes some heat around here. And for what he's here for, he understands what he's here for. He knows he's going to be this number 7 or 8 defenseman. He knew that when he signed his contract. There was so much hand-wringing when he signed a 1-year contract. It's like, people, it doesn't matter. The one thing I like about him is he's always ready. He can go a month without playing and has gone a month without playing, jumps into the lineup, and he doesn't look like he's rusty. He has some things that maybe he's not as good at. He's not the biggest thing in the world, but there are also some things he is good at, breaking the puck out. And, you know, he can play very well. He has the odd game where it doesn't go very well for him. But just because he's not putting people through the back wall doesn't mean that, you know, he can't come in. Now, if he's one of your 6 defensemen all year long, well, maybe we're having a different conversation. But to be your number 7 or number 8 guy who's always ready, who never complains, even if you send him to Rochester like they did last year, never complains, figures out, all right, what do I have to do to get better to get back up there? I really think he's a perfect fit for what they signed him for. So, you know, as I said, it sounds like all things equal, he'll get the first opportunity today. And Johnson, I think, has a pretty good chance of getting the next opportunity in Boston.
We'll see how some of this stuff shakes out. Starting tonight at 7 p.m., puck drop at KeyBank Center. Sabres taking on the Rangers.
Paul, love that the season's getting started, though. I mean, Yankees got ended last night, so sorry. You know, you got all the focus on Sabres time now.
Yeah, no, sorry, I had to put off a half hour for you guys. It was going to be 10:30, But swear at Lindy Ruft. I mean, he planned his press conference where we couldn't do it at 10:30, so it was I couldn't join you. So break into Lindy's office and tell him that's unacceptable to have your show upended like that.
Lindy, always against the media.
Yes, right? Always.
Paul, thank you so much. We'll talk again later.
Take care, guys.
See you, Paul.
Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline. I'm really glad I got to that Ryan McLeod question because he's a player I quickly fell in love with his style last year. The trade was interesting when it was made. I mean, I kind of was happy they were able to move anything off of Savoy. I've talked about that a lot with some of these prospects of it just goes on too long where the value depreciates. McLeod was somebody, though, that came in. One of the more exciting acquisitions they had just because him on the shorthand, his speed, Paul mentioned it, just he could be so dangerous defensively that he would get them into opportunities that they were better with less guys than they were with more guys. It was so fun to watch. And I am really into the idea that they have not reached his peak yet as a goal scorer
because of the
ability he has.
I had to bring up Ryan Johnson as well because he played so well that a player that was expected to be on the opening night roster, your namesake, Zach Jones, ends up in Rochester instead.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Ryan Johnson, he was... There's questions about, is he going to crack this roster? Is he going to be one of the next bottom pair defensemen for this group at least? Mm-hmm. And see where it goes from there. Because, I mean, I don't think you're getting past Dahlin, Power, Kesselring, Byram.
Right.
But if you can at least be on the bottom pair this year, I think some fans will be plenty welcome to it because he does have some good skating ability.
803-0550, the number to call. Want to give your thoughts on tonight's Sabres opening up the season against the Rangers. We've also got Thursday Night Football tonight as well, an NFC East divisional matchup, Philadelphia and the New York Giants. In Philadelphia, not been playing well, they are 4-1.
So we're throwing a 1-4 Giants team,
yeah,
and Eagles with a confounding offense and throwing Thursday Night Football into it. That is a powerful stink coming from the blender.
Thank goodness for baseball. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.